engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of Exodus. When Moses came to the people and related all the words and ordinances of the Lord, they all answered with one voice, "We will do everything that the Lord has told us." Moses then wrote down all the words of the Lord, and rising early the next day, he erected at the foot of the mountain an altar and 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. Then, having sent certain young men of the children of Israel to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord, Moses took half of the blood and put it in large bowls. The other half he splashed on the altar. Taking the book of the covenant, he read it aloud to the people, who answered, "All that the Lord has said, we will heed and do." Then he took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you, in accordance with all these words of his." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise. God the Lord has spoken and summoned the earth, from the rising of the sun to its setting. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Gather my faithful ones before me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his justice, for God himself is the judge. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Offer to God praise as your sacrifice, and fulfill your vows to the Most High. Then call upon me in time of distress. I will rescue you, and you shall glorify me. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all throughout the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." His slaves said to him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" He replied, "No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We have, my friends, in this 24th chapter of the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, a passage we read today which really shows us the foundational elements of our religion. Foundations not just in and through the Christian church that Jesus established on the apostles and all that he gave us in the sacraments and his grace, but we see their foundations in the Jewish people and their practices, the Old Testament, and the chosen people of God through whom he prepared the world for the Messiah. And what are some of these foundational elements? The word and the blood, the altar and the sacrifice, the covenant and the vows. Let's explore this. Moses had received on the mountain the commandments of God, but it wasn't just the Ten Commandments. They were like chapter headings. There were many hundreds of prescriptions and laws. There was a code of the covenant. There was a way of life that made this people on their land distinct. Blessed are we, O Israel, the prophet said, for what pleases God is known to us. And that distinguished them from the other nations around them who did not know the true God. They were busy worshiping idols. But Israel knew the true God, worshiped him, and was told to keep pure, unadulterated, their knowledge and worship of God. Don't mingle with the other nations. Don't adopt their practices. Stay faithful to the covenant. So this ceremony that we read about in this reading incorporates the fundamental elements of religion and is a reaffirmation by the people that they want this. They want this special relationship with God. They want to know him. They want to do what he says. They want to live his life. It's a way of life. Now, the vows that the people take are part of a covenant. The word covenant is key to our religion. And we say it right at the heart of every Mass, right? This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. So if this is the new and everlasting covenant in the blood of Christ, there was an old temporary covenant, various old and temporary covenants, or covenants that were pointing to something greater, which got fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Well, what is a covenant? You know, you can have covenants between human beings. Marriage is a covenant, where persons come together and agree to certain things that they will do for one another as a way of life. Covenants can be bilateral, where the two people involved, or there could be more than two, work it out. They negotiate something, they agree on the terms. Then you can have a unilateral covenant, where the parties are not equal. And that's what we have with God, of course. And only one person sets the terms, God Almighty. And he promises certain things, but he sets the terms and identifies precepts that are to be kept. And then the other party to the covenant, all of us, God's people, agree to follow out what he has prescribed and know that in return he will give us certain blessings. We also know that for violating the covenant there will be bad consequences. So God initiates the covenant, this covenant relationship with his people. And he stipulates the way of life. He describes specifically what we have to do and what we are not to do. This is not some kind of, and this is one of the most important things to realize, some kind of vague, you know, God loves us. We're close to God. And then the period is on the sentence and nothing is said or thought about after that. Nothing is more specific than that. So people take this, I love God and I'm a good person, and then they just blanket that over whatever in the world they want to do. And that's not the way it works. The covenant has some very specific prescriptions. That's why what you see here is Moses, first of all, speaking to the people, here's how the Lord wants you to live. Defending life, promoting justice, being honest and fair in your relationships, caring for the poor. He goes through it, not committing adultery, not coveting. He goes through it. He relates to them all the words and ordinances of the Lord. The Lord sets the terms of the covenant. The people say yes. Notice what they say. This is so important. We will do everything that the Lord has told us. And then later on, they repeat the words, all that the Lord has said, we will heed and do. I want to point out, in both of those affirmations of the people, you have the word all, and you have the word everything. They mean the same thing. In other words, you cannot pick and choose which commandments you're going to follow and which you're going to set aside, which ones are important and which aren't. It all holds together. Why? Because the covenant is about sharing the life of God. And as we've said many times before, the reason we're pro-life is that God is life. The reason we seek justice is because God is justice. The reason we have to be truthful is that God is truth. The reason we have to love one another is that God is love. So this is a sharing in the life of God. You can't share part of that life. All right, Lord, I want this part of you, but not that part. And I'll take you under this particular characteristic, but that other one I'm going to ignore. That doesn't work that way. We're fully united with him. And therefore, it's not up to us to decide which of the teachings we want to implement, which of the articles of the creed we want to believe, which of the commandments we want to follow, which of the things we think are important, and which ones we don't. All that the Lord has said, we will heed and do. We will do everything. Now, the fact, then, that these words are important. See, in a covenant, it's not just, oh, it's love, it's love. No, the words are important, the words. We say the creed. That's part of the covenant. You will believe these things. We read the commandments. That's part of the covenant. You will do these things, you will not do these other things. And so important are the words that Moses then had them all written down. Notice again, this verse says, this doesn't say Moses wrote down the words of the Lord. He said Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. You know, I actually had a priest say to me that his diocese told him not to preach about abortion. Whoever told him that needs to go back. I hope they're listening when this reading is read today. Because they are violating in the most profound way their calling in the sight of God. It's not up to us to say, oh, well, I'm going to be silent about this, that, or the other part of God's covenant or commands. Okay, so Moses wrote down all the words. But as a sign that this is a sharing in the life of God, he then has a ritual at the altar. And this is another key element of religion. Sacrifice, altar, and blood. Sacrifice is essential. God asks for the sacrifice. It is an offering, a giving up of something to the deity. Jesus Christ offered the perfect sacrifice, himself. God being offered to God. There are many sacrifices throughout Scripture, and we see here burnt offerings. That's one type of sacrifice. There were incense offerings. There were offerings of food, of grain. And then there were the blood offerings, young bulls, it mentions here, peace offerings to the Lord, blood. Scripture says life is in the blood. And therefore, if you sacrifice the blood of animals, you're talking about life. You're symbolizing life. You're saying to God, everything belongs to you. And you can have, you've given everything to us that we have, and you can have back whatever you want. So the sacrificing of it to God indicates this willingness to be completely subservient to him. He is Lord. This is what sacrifice is saying. And I'm going to live that way. Okay, now, what happens in this ceremony? It speaks to us today. Moses takes half the blood and puts it in large bowls. The other half he splashes on the altar. And then he takes the blood from the bowls and splashes it on the people. Now, the altar represents God Almighty, the one who is initiating the covenant, the one who is specifying the demands of the covenant, the one who is creating the way of life that will bless and fulfill his people, but if they depart from it, they will be cursed. That's the altar representing Almighty God. And the altar still represents God. That's why at the beginning of the Mass, what do we do to the altar? And what do we do to the altar at the end of the Mass? We kiss it. Represents Christ. And it's the place where the sacrifice is made. So during the Mass, we're recalling the new and everlasting covenant, and the altar represents Christ and speaks to us of the sacrifice that he made in his blood. Now, the blood symbolizes life. So what does it mean if half the blood is covering the altar and the other half of the blood from the same animals, the same life, is covering the people? It means that the people share the life of God. Same blood from the same living creature on both the altar and the people so as to unite them in the covenant. And the people don't get sprinkled with the blood unless and until they say, all that the Lord has said, we will heed and do. Because it makes no sense to be sprinkled with the blood, saying you share the life of God, represented by the altar, if you're not going to heed his commands. It doesn't make any sense. You can't do it. And this, by the way, answers the controversial question that keeps swirling around us these days about communion and whether certain people should be receiving communion or not if they don't adhere to all the Lord says and does. Well, of course they shouldn't. It's right here in black and white. You can't be sprinkled with the blood if you don't say you're going to do all that the Lord says. These things go together. It's a sharing of the life of God. And so we come to the altar representing the new and eternal covenant made in the blood of Christ. He has stipulated it. He has created a new life for us. His covenant doesn't involve prescriptions written only. We do have the written word. It's right here. But his covenant involves the Spirit writing the law on our hearts. Just as I told you the other day, it was the finger of God. The Holy Spirit is the finger of God. It's one of his titles. And That finger of God wrote those commandments into stone. Now the Spirit, Prophet Ezekiel talks about this, the Spirit is writing the law in our hearts. In fact, he created us according to his law, according to his word. That's why it brings us happiness and fulfillment. And this is the oath we take as we, at the Mass, listen to the Word of God, listen to the preaching of his ordained minister. And when you hear the readings proclaimed at Mass, and when you hear the homily, you're not just, it's not like going into a classroom and listening, or into an auditorium and listening to a presentation. It's not exactly the same thing happening. I mean, you could have a talk. There could be a conference. You go to conferences, right? Some of them online or in person, and you hear speakers. What's happening during the Mass, when you're hearing the readings and the homily, is different. It's not just that you are listening to ideas that hopefully make sense and hopefully inspire and instruct. It's more than that. It's an act of worship. Again, this passage in Exodus 24. Moses and the people get together. He relates to them the words and ordinance of the Lord. Okay, so it's like a reading and a homily. And then they respond. Everything that the Lord has said, we will heed and do. In other words, what are they doing at that moment? They are worshiping. They're not just listening to a talk. They're engaged in an act of worship of God. So that's what we're doing when we hear the readings and the homily. We're supposed to be assenting to God. Yes, Lord, I'm here. First of all, I believe that I'm hearing your word, because that's what the church teaches. We say this is the word of the Lord, and then the church also teaches that when the preacher preaches, it's Christ preaching. Unless, of course, the preacher is stupid enough to say something that's contrary to Christ. But the point is, we're engaged in an act of worship. And we are saying yes to God. Lord, I'm hearing your word not simply because I'm interested in knowing something, or even less because I want to be entertained. No. It's not just satisfying intellectual curiosity or having entertainment. It's assenting in worship to a way of life. Lord, these words that I'm hearing, they shape the way I live. They shape the way I believe. Yes. Everything you say, Lord, I will heed and do because I'm your son, I'm your daughter, I'm sharing your life. And then we go to the altar and we drink the blood of Christ. When we receive communion, even if we just receive the host, it's the body and blood. It's the whole Christ living and risen. And so by that communion, we are having the fullness of the communion that is symbolized in Exodus 24, when half of the blood is splashed on the altar, the other half is splashed on the people, same blood from the same animals, so it symbolizes communion, sharing of life. Brothers and sisters, these are our marriage vows when we come to Mass. These are our covenant vows when we come to Mass. This is our celebration of life. This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you. Let's rejoice that we are people of the new and everlasting covenant. Let's bring as many other people as we can into that covenant. Let's be faithful to that covenant. Let's proclaim it to the ends of the earth. And let's look forward to the everlasting fruit of that covenant. Life forever with one another and with the Lord. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.